Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal, but it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHOPE. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHOPE, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, Fabian Zetterlund at center ice. Hopes of an entire bench on his shoulders as he skates across the blue line. He moves in, he waits, he shoots, he scores! Fabian Zetterlund wins the game for the Sharks. The final score will be recorded as the Sharks 3, the Maple Leafs 2, and check out the celebration for the men in teal and white.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was I just felt like we were down on ourselves, and that's what you can, that can happen where we're at, right? The losses have piled up, but we've been playing, doing some pretty good things, and we can't feel bad for ourselves. It's the National Hockey League. You know, just remind them that there's, you know, eight guys in there that have a lot of family and friends here to watch you. And they came to watch 60 minutes, not 40. And then my last message was going to be a hell of a story. And, you know, I think credit to the group. They dug in, just kept competing, found a way to win.
Good morning, everyone. And just like that, the San Jose Sharks losing streak is at an end. And they stopped a win streak once again as they took down the Toronto Maple Leafs, who had been one of the hottest teams in hockey entering last night's game. They had not lost since before the break. So for the San Jose Sharks, finally a game where they get a break. And I am not a big believer in luck because I think there are connotations of the outcome of luck being unearned. Last night, the Sharks earned every bit of that game. They were down 2-0 on the road entering the third period. That's not a terrible game by any means, right? Like, if you've only given up 2 goals entering the third period on the road, I think that's a chance, a game that you have a chance in. I think that if you are taking a game to overtime, that's a game that you have a chance in. I think if it's a game where you're doing that against Toronto, one of the best teams in the league, while your chances might be a little bit lower, you're at least looking at the overall performance and saying, okay, you did some things well enough to give the team an opportunity. And what the Sharks have been looking for is opportunity late in games. Unfortunately, far too many times in recent memory and over the course of the entirety of the year, they have faltered in the third period. And this was a third period where instead of being a moment where you're unhappy and you're looking at the outcome as something that's not exactly pleasing, the San Jose Sharks improved throughout the third period. They scored multiple goals. It's the first time they've scored multiple goals in the third period since their last road win back in the middle of January when taking on Detroit. And for the San Jose Sharks, they were able to weather the storm after some pretty, well, I will say that I didn't appreciate the calls from the officials, the hooking that put them on the kill at the start of overtime. But once again, that was another mountain for the San Jose Sharks to climb. It just seemed like they were presented with challenges time and time again in this game, whether it was going to be on the penalty kill, whether it was going to be, you know, in the shootout, whether it was going to be against one of the hottest teams in the NHL. And I should point out that the Lightning, very much like Toronto, both of them lost last night. So two of the hottest teams in the league saw their streaks come to a close. But that's life in the NHL. You can't win every game, just as the San Jose Sharks cannot lose every game, especially not every close one. And they deserved a close win. Now, deserve is not a, I will say, not the most valid term in sports, because you can do all the right things and still end up with the wrong answer. That's why sports are flawed. And one of the reasons we love them so much is because the opposite of that is true. You can do all the wrong things and still end up with the right answer. It's not as likely, but for the San Jose Sharks, last night was a game where they did not do as much right early on. They fell behind. Their shot generation through two periods was nowhere near good enough, but they gave themselves a chance by staying within shouting distance. We've seen them against other good teams get down, and the narrative for the Sharks, other than the Ottawa game in recent memory, is to be tied or having a lead entering the third period. So they flipped that narrative a bit, and they go down by a couple of goals. And again, it's still within shouting distance. 2 goals is a doable comeback. 3, 4, 5, yeah, that's not as likely to happen. And I know they've had a couple of incredible comebacks over the last 2 years, one at Utah this year, one at Detroit last year, where yes, anything in any game is most definitely possible. But this was an instance where, okay, they had not been playing particularly well offensively, but the goals they'd given up were on the power play. So I guess if you're going to concede goals, it might as well be on the man disadvantage. So you can say, well, when we're 5-on-5, when we're even strength, we're doing pretty well. And again, I didn't love a lot of the calls last night. So I will, again, just slip that in there. But giving themselves a chance. The Sharks in so many of these games had given themselves a chance only to falter. This was a game where they just kept on pushing it. They did not get the game-winning goal before regulation came to a close. They pushed it to overtime. They were able to manage the kill in overtime, and Georgiev came up with some great saves. There were some great blocks. There were some great defensive plays. You could tell everybody was just playing for it to the finish, and they were able to weather that storm and get into the shootout. And then, you know, they fall behind in the shootout, and then they get goals from Toffoli and Zetterlund. And that was good enough for the win. It was not the prettiest win we've ever seen. It was not the most amazing performance start to finish, but it was a relatively complete performance. They only allowed 2 goals, right? Like, that's something that I'm going to take a look at and say, okay, that's a way to give yourself a chance. And if we look at, you know, what we've seen so far in this month, they all already gave up 5 goals to Ottawa. Then we go back to last month. They gave up 4 goals to Montreal. They gave up 2 goals to Winnipeg and lost in overtime, probably the most frustrating one of this road trip. And they gave up 3 goals in Calgary. So, you know, they're giving themselves a chance at the very least. I think that's what I'm walking away with this, or walking away from this with, is continuing to give yourselves a chance. And the defensive performance, for the most part, other than that game in Ottawa, I think has been pretty darn good. But obviously they were not able to stand up and weather the storm in the third period. In this game, because they were not trailing, I think they played a little bit looser in the third period. They get a relatively early third period goal from Jack Thompson to get themselves back in it, and it breathed life into the Sharks. You could tell they just became a little bit more emboldened, just a little bit more aware of their opportunity in the game. And I think that was the most important thing. It's 2:23 into the first period. Jack Thompson assisted by Alex Wenberg and William Eklund, which, by the way, that was at the start of the third period when Macklin Celebrini was moved to the second line and Wenberg was moved up. That was an opportunity for things to change for San Jose. And I think sometimes when the offense isn't going, you do have to shuffle things around a bit and give yourselves an opportunity. That is a big part of coaching in the NHL. And Ryan Warsawski had nothing to lose, right? Like, he knows that his team isn't going to the playoffs this year. He knows that he's not in an amazing position to really turn things around, but he did make an adjustment. So he said, in this game, why not try something? So he shuffled things around a bit, and then suddenly offense comes very, very shortly thereafter. And then at the halfway mark, roughly, of the third period, you get Tyler Toffoli, you know, Alex Wenberg in on another assist. That was a beautiful play he made going around the net with speed and then setting up Tyler Toffoli. That's just good hockey. That's just phenomenal hockey. And then the Sharks, again, as they watched Toronto try and push their way towards the finish line, they were able to hold on. And sometimes you just have to hold on for dear life. Bend, don't break. Keep on extending the situation. Give yourselves a chance as long as you can. And there's way more pressure in that situation for Toronto than there is San Jose. Toronto, the media, the fan base, it is all under a microscope. It's not like that for the San Jose Sharks right now. It will be in the future, I would imagine. Maybe not to the same extent as Toronto, but right now the Sharks are not in a championship window. They do not have the same star power yet as Toronto. But, you know, Toronto, they're going to overreact like crazy to a loss to the Sharks. And I think that there was a tightness with a win streak and knowing that Tampa had been breathing down their divisional necks, and it was a tight, tight situation. Whereas the Sharks, they have nothing to lose, right? So they played more loose in the third period, especially without having a lead. And I think it paid off. I think there was more, not flailing from Toronto, but you could tell Toronto was definitely playing with a little bit more of a panicked aspect to their game. There were probably some shots they want back. There were probably some plays, some passes. They were just trying and fighting and gripping to make something happen. Whereas the Sharks were able to absorb that intensity over the course of the game. And I give them a lot of credit for it. Again, you look at the adjustment from the coaching staff. You look at the way that players performed. You look at the way that they were able to change the dynamics. They were able to keep themselves in the game. The Sharks did what they were not able to do in the previous games of this road trip, the previous four heading into last night's game being the fifth. And hopefully that's something that carries over into Buffalo. Hopefully that's something that carries over into Colorado, as they've got, you know, two more challenges on this road trip before they come home roughly for a month. They don't leave the state of California once they come home until, you know, April. And this is a great opportunity for San Jose to just start anew. They've got a win streak on their hands with one. That's better than eight consecutive losses. And they know that they've been playing some really good hockey. And even though last night was not as good as maybe as the way that they played against a Calgary or an Edmonton, it was still good enough. And you're looking for 60-minute efforts, which the later you get into a season in which you don't have Mikhail Granlund, in which you don't have Cody Ceci, in which you don't have Mackenzie Blackwood, three important players heading into the year, you're looking for more of those performances from younger players, like a Jack Thompson, like a Shakir Mukhamudulin, like Colin Graf, and like Will Smith, and like Macklin Celebrini, and now you've got Jimmy Schultz being inserted into the lineup for San Jose. We assume so because he's coming up due to the injury to Henry Thrun. So again, you know, you are looking at all these players stepping up into a very difficult situation because the Sharks, compared to what they had early in the year, we knew they were at a relative talent deficit entering the season, but then you take away three important players in Blackwood and Ceci and Granlund, we know they are not playing quote-unquote with the same horses. Now, that doesn't mean that I am overlooking what you can get from a Colin Graf or what you can get from a Shakir Mukhamudulin or any of these guys. I'm just saying when we look at point-per-point production, when we look at NHL experience, they do not have the same horses that they did previously. But now, this is where San Jose has to be looking towards the future while playing for the present. Show me that you want to be part of this future. Show me that you want to be part of what this team is building towards. And I continue to like what I see from Colin Graf and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and Shakir Mukhamudulin. They're performing well on the other side of the break. I think for some of those guys, they really needed a little bit of a recharge, and I think it's helped, especially Will Smith. He's been red hot, even though he didn't get any points last night. You're liking what the Sharks are doing, especially the younger players, and it's giving themselves a chance because they're being asked to do more than they've ever done in their careers. I know you can't say that of all the guys in Toronto, but you know, you are asking a lot of a Will Smith, of a Macklin Celebrini, of a Colin Graf, of a Shakir Mukhamudulin. All these guys are being called upon to start to make good on the promise they've shown up to this point. It's like you were brought into San Jose for a reason. We are in the late stages of a season that is not going to end in the playoffs, but we need you to show us what you're going to be for the future. And so with the point production those guys have had, with the performance they've had, with the way they've been able to set up and see the ice, like even look back at the goals they didn't score last night, the way that Macklin, Celebrini, and Will Smith were connecting, you know, some of the times that we saw Colin Graf stepping up into plays, you could just see that the way that all these guys, same story for Shakir Mukhamudulin, who's being more active on the ice, is using his size, is using that big orbit of his stick, you're seeing them learn the game. And learning is not something that happens immediately, right? Like you're watching them take their lumps and go through their struggles, and you'll see them make mistakes and you'll see them end up on the wrong side of a play. But to their credit, that's happening less and less often. So I think that's just a big part of what the Sharks and their young players are striving towards. And again, learning is a painful process that involves losing. And that's something that a lot of people don't want to understand. They think that a guy gets to a place that they turn a page and suddenly they just start rattling off goals and assists and wins. It's a slow burn. It takes time, and it happens not just with individuals. It happens collectively as a team. And the San Jose Sharks, they have been dealing with a lot over this trip. And I always talk about this is the hard work that doesn't go rewarded. It was finally rewarded last night. And when you've got these losses up to last night where you're giving yourselves a chance, where you're in games, where you feel like you're playing complete only to get beat by a better team, like, is there that much shame in losing to Calgary 2-1 in overtime? No. Or excuse me, losing to Winnipeg 2-1 in overtime? I would say no, but the level of frustration where you think, God, if we had just given ourselves another goal, a little bit of a buffer, an opportunity to give ourselves just a little bit more room for error, more breathing room. And they weren't able to do that. So they lost in overtime. And you could say the same thing about the games, you know, with Calgary and the games with, you know, Montreal. The Ottawa game was a little bit different where the Sharks did not play as tight, but it was another game where they had a lead entering the third period and, you know, gave up, you know, two goals right off the start of the period and then just kept on, you know, just kept on faltering. And that's not the way it can happen. And again, we talk about that faltering. We talk about them coming up short. And even when they were playing, the entirety of the game. And even in that Ottawa game, they came back with a goal to make it, a one goal game where it was 4-3 and then an empty netter was added on. It's still just the way that it goes for San Jose right now. They were falling short. They were falling short despite the effort. They were not getting enough. So last night was probably big for their psyches. And even though they were able to be more loose in last night's game, now they're going to be thinking about making it two wins in a row. And yes, they've got to travel on the road back to back to Buffalo. And Buffalo's got a lot more to play for than San Jose right now. But this is the whole point. You want to give yourself an opportunity to build momentum. And I know that the San Jose Sharks are probably looking at, the standings right now. And they saw Chicago win again last night. They're 4 points back of where Chicago is. And they still have the worst record in the NHL. But, you look at where Buffalo is right now. And they are within, shouting distance of the final playoff spot in the East. They've got 54 points. That's only 12 back of the final wild card where Detroit is right now. It doesn't look the most likely, I'll put it that way, but there's still enough time for them to give themselves an opportunity. I don't think it's the most likely, but Buffalo, again, by the numbers, is a better team. But that doesn't mean the Sharks can't come in and be a disruptive force, and I hope they do so. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from last night. Toronto, after a competitive first period that was scoreless, broke through in the second period.
Off the draw, Delandrie applies the check on Marner, but he kept it in. Now he takes it back from Nylander and shoots, tip, score! Well, Nyes was in front of a net with Tavares, and the play came back to Marner, and the number four scorer in the NHL just tossed it to the net. It gets by Georgiev, and it is 1-0 Toronto with a power play goal.
Again, if you're going to give up goals to Toronto on the power play, I'll accept it. It's better than a 5-on-5 goal. You don't love it, but you're thinking, okay, if it takes a power play for them to score, make sure you stay out of the box. They did not stay out of the box. 5 seconds remaining in the period. Toronto once again on the power play, once again finding the back of the net.
One last rush for the Maple Leafs on the power play, but they can do it. Matthews feeds on the right. Tavares gains the zone, drops it back. Marner having trouble with it. Being pressured by Sturm. Flips it back to Tavares, who moves to the middle, who gives it on the right to Matthews. Throws it in front of the net. They score! That was a battle win by Matthew Nyes, falling down against Vlasic, and the puck trickled across the goal line. 4.5 seconds left in the second period, and that one stings a lot. The penalty on Cunning also destructive to the Sharks' hopes. It's 2-0 Maple Leafs.
I may have had a couple of four-letter words over that goal, especially with that little time remaining in the period, but I did say, and I got to start just recording myself all the time. What could go wrong? Ask Richard Nixon. But I did say to Alan at the NBC studios, I said, the Sharks are going to come back. Watch. They're going to come back. And come back they did, as Jack Thompson, one of the hometown boys from Ontario, shows up having the deficit early in the third period.
Let's see what Vlasic can do. He's across the line, gives to Eklund, turns away from the Tavares check, throws it back to the point. Here comes a shot by Wennberg, wide rebound. Thompson shoots. He scores! The Curtis Ontario native puts it into the net to get the Sharks on the board at 2:23 of the third. Sharks down 2-1.
So things are rolling there for San Jose. And then another Ontario native, Tyler Toffoli. He comes up with a big, big goal for San Jose to tie this game at 2, 10-10 into the third period.
Sharks stop the Maple Leaf attack. Toffoli whips it rink-wide. Here comes Walm, Wennberg moving in. Wennberg behind the net, centering feet. Toffoli shoots. He scores! Alex Wennberg sets up Tyler Toffoli. And the kid from Scarborough is able to tie this game 2-2.
From there, it was chaos. We go into overtime. The Sharks on the kill. And Alexander Georgiev, Alexander the Great, coming up with some huge stops to keep San Jose alive in this game.
Matthews, near side feed, McKay, cross ice to Nylander. It's still 4-on-4 out there in overtime. Now it's taken back by Matthews on the drop. Shoots one, save made by Georgiev, and he's able to hang on. That was a big stick stop, and there was no rebound with 1:03 remaining in this game.
The Sharks would keep it a 2-2 game through the end of overtime. We go to the shootout. Mitch Marner with a miss. Macklin Celebrini with a miss. Austin Matthews with a miss. Will Smith with a miss. William Nylander scores a goal. Tyler Toffoli matches with a goal of his own. John Tavares, miss. And then Fabian Zetterlin, the game winner.
All right, Fabian Zetterlin at center ice. Hopes of an entire bench on his shoulders as he skates across the blue line. He moves in, he waits, he shoots, he scores! Fabian Zetterlund wins the game for the Sharks. The final score will be recorded as the Sharks 3, the Maple Leafs 2, and check out the celebration for the men in teal and white.
Phenomenal call from the Hall of Famer Dan Rusinowski there as the San Jose Sharks stop their slide, downing Toronto 3-2 in a shootout. Fabian Zetterlund, the hero of the day. Of course, you also have to give a lot of credit to Tyler Toffoli, who kept the Sharks alive in the shootout and also got the game-tying goal in this game. The Sharks walk away with 2 points when all is said and done. It's yet another game on this road trip that they go into an overtime or shootout, and just showing how wildly competitive they are, even in the midst of a very difficult season. Folks, this is why I think the Sharks are closer than we think they are to being back in the playoff picture. This is not like last year in the slightest, in which they were getting blown out, in which they were getting outmanned, in which they were getting overpowered in every single game. The Sharks this year are putting forth phenomenal efforts, have a much higher level of talent, but I think overall are just outmanned in so many games that they're not able to overcome the talent deficit. And that's no knock on anyone on the Sharks, because there are very, very talented players on San Jose. There just isn't enough of it compared to the other teams in the NHL. I never want to say like, oh, these guys aren't good, because they are. They just won a game last night. To be in the NHL, you have to be an absolutely phenomenal athlete A and hockey player. You cannot get away from that reality. These guys are all incredible. But other teams have more incredible athletes and more incredible hockey players. And the Sharks have been keeping themselves alive in games. Over and over and over again, the Sharks have given themselves a chance. If you get a little bit more talent on this team next year, if you get a little bit more overall, the Sharks are going to be on the right side of so many more of these 27 games that they've had quote-unquote close losses by one goal or one goal plus an empty netter. If you do that, then suddenly you're very much in that playoff picture. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I think there's still bumps in the road and growing pains for this team, but it's a lot more encouraging than it was a year ago at this time. Let's get into some of that post-game reaction. Here is Sharks head coach Ryan Warsowski talking about the effort that they showed in the third period.
Yeah, it's something that we've really talked a lot about lately, that we got to shoot more pucks. We got to deliver more pucks than that. We got to get more to the inside of the ice. And a perfect example of that is Toffoli. The first goal with Thompson, we get a puck to the net, goes off the back wall, and Toff gets to the inside. We got to do more of that going forward, but we get rewarded when we do those things.
Warzo was also asked about Alex Wennberg, who has been playing phenomenally on this side of the break since coming back from injury as well.
Yeah, stepped up, you know, tremendously. He is such an underrated, you know, player in this league. It's incredible. I know he's been around and played for some organizations, but coaching him firsthand, you see how smart of an individual he is. When he's skating, he's got a good skill set, sees the ice well. He's been a huge piece of this team.
And he was also asked about what his team showed him over the course of the game.
Just some character, and which we have, but it just shows we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. I know we're not in a playoff race, but we're never going to give up. We're going to keep playing. We're going to keep competing. Doesn't matter what the scoreboard says. But I think our guys are really starting to, you know, buy into how we need to play. You know, and it's a simple brand of hockey, and that's usually what wins in this league. And I think they're starting to figure that out.
All right, before we run out of time, I wanted to give you a little bit more of the conversation I had with Alan Hoshida, the host of NBC Sports Pre- and Post-Game Live, where we were talking about what we thought would happen between now and the deadline for San Jose.
I think they need to move this up to like the beginning of February or the middle, second week of February. I know maybe it's bad timing with Four Nations, but we saw a bunch of stuff happen before. It's just so, like, I know the part of it is they want to keep as many teams in it as they can for as long as possible, but it's just tough. Like you're saying, from the psychological standpoint of these players, like, they're hanging. Like Nico Sturm, how big is that bag that he packed? Because he doesn't know. But to your point, I think the way that I've just kind of read articles and listened to things and looked at reports, I think the Sharks have maybe one or two moves left.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the answer that a lot of fans expect. They made me think like it's more than that. I just don't know. It also depends how the Sharks are not going to be a lot of people. Like the Sharks players that are available are not going to be a lot of teams' plan A, in my belief. They're going to be the plan B or what happens. I think they're really good pieces like Sturm, Cunning, even Mario Ferraro has been floated out there. Ruda, he's hurt. But those are going to be really good pieces that I think you know, fan bases that get them are going to be like, oh, what does that mean? But a Kunin and a Sturm, a Ferraro down the stretch for a playoff contending team to add some serious depth, those are going to be huge, huge moves for those teams, even though they're little moves, if that makes sense. But I don't know how many more they have. I think one or two, because I also think you need to have guys that can play NHL level hockey. They can't just have everybody come up from the Barracuda for multiple reasons, because then the competitiveness of these games where you're in it, it may not happen. And B, the Barracuda have cooled off here a little bit lately. And if one of the goals for the organization this year was for the Barracuda to get into the playoffs and play playoff hockey, they have to ensure that.
Yeah.
If you keep poaching guys, it's going to be tough for them to do. Danielle Gushin had a Hattie last night. Ethan Caldwell has been playing really well.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure those guys are going to get opportunities. But we'll see. We'll see. Bordalo has looked pretty good too here of late. But yeah, you can't just bring up everyone for the Barracuda, because then what are you leaving the Barracuda? And the Barracuda are trying to make a playoff push too. And that was a goal for this Sharks from the start.
You wonder if they're also, we've talked about this before, but you know, getting, if they're going to trade guys, are they going to bring in NHL players as well? Which I know that's not exactly rare, but to your point, I mean, you can't just take everything away from the Barracuda because they want them in those competitive spots. Just as a final one, looking at this game tonight against Toronto, it is a Toronto team that is, you know, tops of the Atlantic. They are dangerous. They have some of the best players on earth. But surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, every time the Sharks have played a good team lately, except for Dallas, they've put up quite an effort and showed they can roll with just about anyone.
I know this might shock you, but I think they're going to be in this game going into the third period. I can almost guarantee that, especially because there's a couple factors here. The Maple Leafs are coming off a game last night, so they're coming off a back-to-back. So maybe they don't have their full legs. And a lot of there's a few guys that played in the Four Nations that, you know, Matthews and Marner, to their credit. So I think they'll be in it to the third period. You also have Sharks. I think there's somewhere between like 5 to 10 guys from Ontario on the Sharks. Maybe not 10. 10 seems like a long, but there's a lot of guys that from Ontario that are going home. They get to play in front of their family and friends, not to mention it's also another game that's on national. It's on Amazon in Canada, and it's going to get another, we get pushed back for our coverage. We have another extra coverage hit because of the puck drop being pushed back. It's another national game. So I think there's plenty of reason for the Sharks to get up for this game. And they have. There's no reason to doubt that they haven't. But they have to win one of these games. And I think if you're catching the team on the back end of a back-to-back, there's, and you're waiting around, I think there gives you an opportunity there to maybe steal one. And one of these games they're going to steal. They're going to steal one of these games. And it's going to feel good. And maybe it gets things going a little bit better. And then you got a race here. Then you have two more games until the trade deadline, right before you play Mackenzie Blackwood in the Colorado Avalanche on the 6th. Then you play Buffalo. Here's the thing. If you get Toronto tonight and then you get Buffalo tomorrow, hey, maybe you get a couple wins on this trip. You got to beat Buffalo. Okay. I'm going to go on paper, you have to beat Buffalo. Like, you cannot. If you are going to the place that you want to go to, I saw something great is where I forgot what it was. It was talking about a trade that just happened with Seth Jones. It might have been someone with the Blackhawks. It was Ryder, but said they made a bold move because you can either make the bold move or you can fall into the places that the Buffalo Sabres are.
Oof.
That's not where you want to be. Like, the Sabres are in this perpetual rebuild. Like, they're never moving forward. And there's guys that have come off that team that have been on really good Stanley Cup teams. So clearly something is not where it needs to be in Buffalo. But that's, I know we're getting away from the subject, but that's where you kind of have to be cautious of the, let's be too patient here with the rebuild and not, and then get stuck in like, what are we doing here?
Hear more of that conversation with Alan Hoshida on yesterday's edition of The Build Up. And I will be back with you on The Build Up this afternoon as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to play yet another game. This road trip continues. Game 6 of 7 in Buffalo at 4:00. On the Sharks Audio Network, our pregame coverage will begin on the live stream at 2:00, but you will be able to get the morning skate report starting at 1:05 from Dan and Drew as we look forward to tonight's game. So yeah, for San Jose, they've got a weight off their shoulders. They can play with a little bit more ease. I thought they were playing with nothing to lose last night, and I'd like to see more of that, especially more of that simple hockey that we did see in the third period. You simplify, keep it simple, stupid, as Drew Remenda likes to say, and you're going to find good results on the other side. The Sharks, can they make it two wins in a row? I wouldn't hate to see it. I think San Jose now has an opportunity to get a little bit of momentum going before they come home for almost the entirety of the month of March. All right, we are out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Raney signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.